Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Climbing Research Show of the Year, the Crowd Forecast News, episode number 209 for January 7th, 2019. If you have not had a chance to take a look at this week's report yet, it's number 267, and you can go to climbingresearch.com/reports and get either the web or PDF version there. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only version of every episode now on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research. Search and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter, and I am the creator of Timing Research, and I have Rod Hanna back to moderate today. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
All right. Thanks, David. And it looks like we got everyone here now. So let me just introduce our panel for today. And actually, I'll let them go around and introduce themselves. But we have I'm Rob Hanna from InvestiQuant and from Quantifiable Edges, John Hoagland from Top Step Trader, Jim Kenny from Option Professor, and Simon Klein from TradeSmart Forex. Why don't I let you guys go through and you can introduce yourselves. We'll go in the order I just read it down on my piece of paper here. John, that makes you you first. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself, about your trading history, and Top Step Trader as well?
Awesome. Thanks, Rob. And thank you, David. Always happy to be here. We got a whole new year, and I'm very excited about the opportunities that are in front of us this year. As for me, well, I'm from Chicago, born and raised. My dad was at the Board of Trade for 40 years. So I guess I was kind of a legacy. I've been in the futures industry. This coming February, it'll be 36 years. It's hard to believe. Over 25 years of it actively trading, starting, of course, in the pits. And then around 2009, 2010, as the opportunities started to dry up there, I started to learn how to trade futures on screen. And it was kind of a long learning curve. I had to unlearn a lot of what I knew from the pit and look for new ways to find good opportunities on screen. In 2011, I started working with Top Step Trader, working with a lot of their funded traders, as well as educating newer traders. I am the senior performance coach there. Top Step Trader is really, I think, a great place for anybody, no matter what their experience level in trading futures and now in Forex. We basically, have you come in, trade a real-time simulated account, looking for, some simple rules to be adhered to and to be able to show some profit. And then we will back you, put you in a funded account, and hopefully you'll be able to continue the success in the, what we call the trading combines in the funded account. There's lots of resources available. We have trade reports. We have lots of video information, news. We have a market forecast in the mornings at 8:15 on Facebook Live, 8:15 Central Time. We also do a market recap at 2 o'clock Central Time on the same channel and on Facebook. There's lots of resources and a great opportunity for traders to get into an account that they don't have to fund themselves. I'm very happy to be a part of it, and I'm happy to be here today.
All right. Thanks, John. Looking forward to talking and hearing your insights again today. Jim Kenny from Option Professor. You want to give us a little intro on yourself?
Sure. OptionProfessor.com, I provide the content to the DVDs that they have for educational purposes, going over option strategies for income and cash flow, going over option strategies for limited risk, leverage, speculation, and of course, hedging, which has been a very, very big thing to know about, either when we're way up high or when we got way low. Knowing how to use these options comes in very, very important during these very volatile times to either stabilize your equity or protect your equity. And so I have a podcast every Friday where I go over the details on this. And at the end of the broadcast here, I'll encourage people to attend.
Excellent. Thanks, Jim. Looking forward to talking to you again. And Simon as well. Simon Klein from Trade Smart Forex. You want to give us a little intro on yourself, Simon? Oh, you got a real presentation prepared.
There you go. Hi, Rob. It's great to be back here again. And the first show of 2019, and I was on the last show of 2018, so it's great bridging the gap between 2018 and 2019. But it's always great to be on with you guys, and it's great to be here as well. So I started trading quite a number of years ago. I graduated UCL in 1996, And my first job out of university was working for Credit Suisse in London. I eventually made my way to New York as well and worked on the trading floor there. I wasn't actually a trader there, but I was working in portfolio and risk analysis, supporting the traders. So I got to see a lot of what the traders do. And a lot of the, I worked with some quants as well and all the different systems that they put together to help support the traders. So I started TradeSmart, and the website is tradesmartforex.com, a number of years ago, with the view to helping, or the vision to helping traders that were frustrated and not getting anywhere with their trading, or complete beginners and wanted to approach trading in a systematic way and learn how to read the markets professionally and then learn how to run a successful trading business. And that's what we do at TradeSmart. We take our traders through learning how to read the markets with no indicators, then learning how to take that knowledge and turn that into a successful trading plan for themselves, and with at least one strategy in there that they've proven has a positive expectancy, so they can go out into the markets and trade it with confidence and not being afraid of any losing trades, for example, because they know that their losing trades are part of a winning system. So every single one of my traders that goes through the complete training will end up with having their own trading plan that they've proven has a positive expectancy. So that's what we do. We take people through the complete learning curve from complete beginner to advanced trader and give them everything that they need in order to succeed. We also have a live trading room that we run every day where traders can come in and see how we put into practice what they've learned on a day-to-day basis. And we support the traders throughout the whole process from beginner all the way to successful trader.
Excellent. All right. Well, it's great to be able to talk to you again, Simon. I'm looking forward to your insights as well. You've always got some interesting things to say. We'll get going here in a minute. I'm Rob Hanna. I've been trading about 20 years, a little over that, I guess. But I don't want to say too much over, you know, because it's making me look older and older. I've run the Quantifiable Edges website since 2008. Quantifiable Edges has a newsletter that people subscribe to, and it's mostly quantitatively based studies focused on the swing time frame all the way out to intermediate term time frame. There's also some systems and indicators and other things available at the site. In 2012, I started a site called Overnight Edges, and that merged with Master the Gap in 2014 and became InvestiQuant. We also have some intraday stuff at InvestiQuant. So it's a mix of intraday, overnight, and I also developed some swing guides there that show probabilities of different things. So I'd invite you to check out InvestiQuant and Quantifiable Edges at some point. Again, my primary focus with my own trading is swing and a little bit in the overnight time frame as well. So let's, with that all said, let's get to questions for the week. Start off, I just want to get a sense of where everybody is looking at from today's open until Friday's close. Do you expect the market to be higher or lower? And I'll start this off really looking for one or two words, and I'll come back to everybody and let you talk in more detail about why you think things are going to happen. But let's just try and set a baseline here first. So I'm looking lower myself. John, what about you? Higher or lower?
I'm a perpetual bull. I'm thinking higher this week.
Okay. Jim, you higher or lower?
By the end of the week, rolling over just a little bit. We could go a little bit higher before we roll over. But by the end of the week, I think some of these things that people are excited about, they're going to get disappointed in. So it could be a little rally here today and maybe a little to Tuesday. And then some of the reality comes in and maybe it rolls over.
Okay. All right. And Simon, you want to be on mine and Jim's team or you want to hang out with John?
I could be on both your teams. I would say it's probably going to go up a little bit more and then we'll probably see it turning to the downside. Whether it's going to do that this week or next week, I don't know. I watch the charts on a day-to-day basis and I do whatever they tell me and they're doing. I follow along. So at the moment today, you want to be on the long side and it could turn around where we are now, but I'll go in that in a bit later. So I'd say like 50-50 up or down from where we are now.
All right. Well, since you have the floor, I'll let you keep going and then we'll move back and look at everybody else's reasons as well. You want to give us some details on what's making you think you may be moving higher and then lower?
Okay, so let's look at the charts again. Everything, I'm guided completely by the charts. I'm a 100% technical trader. I don't pay too much attention to fundamentals too much. I see how the market reacts. Even when I was originally looking at fundamentals, it wasn't in the way that to try and figure out what the market's going to do. It was in the way that what's going to be moving today. What am I going to be focused on when I was trading stocks originally, way back when? So what happened, we said at the end of last year, I remember on the Timing Research Show on this day, and we said, we're going down. The odds are we're going down. So we went down and we hit this demand area. You can see over here, this demand area, you can see my lines drawn here, here, and here on three time frames on the monthly, the yep. weekly, and the daily chart. You got to be a buyer down here. There's no other way to go. The odds are very high. I mean, it could go through it, but the odds are after a big drop down into that area, it's going to bounce. So let's focus in on the daily chart and then we'll go up. So the daily chart, we had this bar. That's a bullish bar. So pullbacks into this bar for the time being are buyable. And you can see one here on this day. And you can see here, yeah, which is kind of the end of last week, beginning of this week. It's Friday, yeah? So you want to be a buyer. Now, how far is it going to go? Well, on this time frame, we've got a supply level here, which is where it may turn to the downside. Yeah, at the moment, it's making high lows, high highs on the daily chart. So we're in bullish mode at the moment within the context of a bearish market, if you look on the bigger time frames. This is a bearish move down. So we're back into area that we broke below. So anywhere in here, it could turn again to the downside, potentially.
Okay, again, interesting. Good stuff. Yeah, I can see that.
And you can see it here as well. You can see this yep. level. We're going back into the level where we kind of broke below. Yeah.
So you're looking at old support as new resistance, right?
Potentially, yeah. But also another very important thing that happened, and I spoke about it on the last time in research show, is that we broke the uptrend on the monthly chart. We're no longer in an uptrend on the monthly chart. So that puts us. We could reestablish it, but what we have to do is we have to get back above like kind of this area again. Yeah, okay. We're not in an uptrend anymore. We broke it. We went below here. So this is an interesting level. Are we going to keep going? I mean, what I can say is this. If we go above this level, then we may go up to the top of this area. And if we go above, then we could even take out the highs and get bullish again. But the odds of it doing that are, at the moment are pretty low. I mean, it could change around depending on what the market does. But this is the next area of interest on the daily chart.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm bullish. Until there or until the market shows me it's not going up anymore.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Jim, what about you? What things are making you lean to the south by the end of the week? I guess it is, but perhaps a little more to run before then.
Yeah, a couple of things. One would be the VIX. My view on the VIX is anything above 25, you're in the real danger zone, which we saw when it jumped up to 36. And when it's between 17 and about, 25 or so, you're in the red zone, which could be a situation where it's going to go back and explode on you. And so ergo, since we're at 21, going back up towards 25 or 27 is not out of the question. So that's number one. If we were under 17, then I'd be more bullish under 16, 15, that kind of thing. But we're still at elevated levels on the VIX. So, the boogeyman can come out of the closet at any point. And then, of course, the former lows around 2600, we've come up here pretty good. And a move like we had on Friday, obviously, a lot of people were stopped out if you were short. And, if you were going to get into the market, you were going to get in. So that volume has been done. And now you got to find new people who want to buy into the death cross. And, yep. China meeting this week has gotten people, a little bit thinking, get in. And then, of course, January, a lot of the salesmen are out there telling everybody to get their allocation in. And the worst is behind us and all that kind of stuff. So you got some stuff that's going on right now. But, the VIX being where it is, the resistance at 2600 and the speed of where we went up, that'll be the trifecta on why I'd be concerned about the rest of the week.
Okay. All right. And can I ask you more about your what you were saying about the VIX there? You mentioned it's the fact that it pulled down so fast but remains at a high level. Is that correct?
Well, no, it's just the number itself. The speed of the move up basically is unsustainable as we're seeing today. And so bottom line is that the speed of the actual price movement is telling me that a lot of the short covering, if you were short, obviously, and using any stops, you got blown out on the rally. If you were getting bugged by your boss that you're holding too much cash, you probably came back in. And you're okay. Going into this 2600 area. The VIX is a bracket oriented. In other words, again, when you're above 25, you're in the panic zone because it could explode to 50 when it's above 25. When we're between 17 and 25, you're in a zone where it has a good probability of going back up towards those higher numbers. Okay. Because it's still in my concern, a danger zone. So in other words, this is not bullish being at 21. It's just basically a rally in a bear situation. Now you get under 17, 16, 15, and we're starting to trade 2650 or above 2700, then you can forget about the bear talk for a while. But okay, right now, you've got to respect the fact that the VIX is still indicating that the patient is still not breathing well.
All right. That's a nice way to put it. All right. Thanks, Jim. John, what about you? You're thinking we're probably going to be moving up this week. So let's hear some of the opposite perspective, I guess.
Okay. All right. I got my screen up. You can see it, right? Very simple chart daily. Okay. So Simon was mentioning that, yeah, you had to be a buyer down here. This little weekly kickoff low level right here, about 24, 28 is the area that I'm concerned that the continuation to the downside might continue. And I have the February 6th low on the continuation chart is 25, 29 even, and a 15% correction in this particular contract is 25, 12. So last week, and the week before even, I think Simon was mentioning, you know, all these, any attempts at rallies all the way down were really just very weak. They all just kind of fell off. Buyers backed out and sellers came in. This bar that Simon mentioned here is, I agree, it's a very bullish bar, but we want to see some probably continuation or some proof of that. But we're already going to be missing our good trade location if we're waiting in for longer time frame traders. So and this bar changed things in my opinion, and I kind of agree with Simon on this. Is
I'm sorry, hang on. Mm-hmm. This bar being I can't see your pointer.
Hang on a second here. The 26th.
Oh, okay. The big day after Christmas.
Right. Okay. And, you know, I understand it's low volume. You know, we haven't seen the majority, I think, of our real traders come back into this market yet so far this year. Today, I think, is probably one of the first days we're going to see more of them getting back into it. As we all know, schools are just getting back into session. And, you know, it's a new year. I agree. Everybody's got a new attitude. Everybody's got to make their money for the year. Everybody's, you know, got their nose to the grindstone now. And yeah, probably a lot of salesmen out there saying it's time to get in. The worst is over. But since this day, it's been a change. The market has been, you've been able to buy weakness. I've been selling strength the whole way down, but that's now over. If we can maintain above this level, of course, but even more importantly, this swing low from February 6th and the 15% correction level, it was resistant last week. We closed right on that web low. And now of course, you know, we're headed back to the upside. So what I'm really looking for is this market to come up and test this 2650 level. This is weekly kickoff level that I put out on Sundays. This is where I think the bigger market state is going to change, somewhere up around 2650. I'm looking for, you know, participation and volume up above that if I'm really going to start to believe that this market can continue to the upside. So as long as we stay above this Feb low and swing low, I'm looking to buy weakness in this market. And, you know, until we can substantially build some volume below that level, or then I think we're probably, you know, more likely just to kind of continue to grind to the upside. And of course, you know, with the tariff discussions going on, I think, you know, Rob, you may be right. We may be disappointed by the end of the week as far as that's concerned. But I'm looking for a really kind of a retest of this 26 even to 2650 at some point this week. So I'm going with my thought that we're going to close higher this week. The only thing that scares me is there's a lot of people agreeing with me.
Yeah, you're right. I hadn't mentioned that, but we got 65% higher for the survey this week.
Right.
No, I'm sorry, 64%.
And you know, that was something that my dad used on the floor of the Board of Trade. They had something called a bullish consensus, and basically they polled traders, floor traders, you know, farmers, anybody, any producer or user of grains. There was one question: are you bullish grains? And every time that bullish consensus got up around 80%, we were near the highs. Every time it got near 20%, we were near the lows. So it's, you know, I think if we get up to this area that we were talking about, this 26, even to 2650 area, I think more and more people are going to be jumping on the idea that this, that the low is in, and that might be a little bit of a challenge for this market to continue to the upside.
Yeah. And looking at David's commentary, it does appear that while we have a decent number of people saying higher this week, I guess it's not overly bullish based on past timing research forecasts. Mm-hmm. So he mentions here that similar conditions have occurred 29 times over the previous 275 weeks, with the majority sentiment being right 69% of the time, and an average S&P move of 0.2%, which we've already gotten far past right. Since this morning. But it has continued up over time. So there's certainly beyond just your analysis, some other precedent saying that we could move higher here.
Sure.
Of course, I'm going to argue with you now.
Of course. Please.
That's why we got a market, though, right? Someone's buying and someone's selling.
Well, I'm 0-2 on the market timing research program. So, you know.
Well, it's tough when you're locked into, all right, Monday to Friday, and that's your trade.
Yes.
You can't change your mind in between.
Right.
Turn
those machines back on.
Right. And we'll go back to, let's see what would change our minds in between. But so for one thing that I'm a little concerned about is the fact that Friday's big move happened on less than impressive volume. And I saw a number of old studies that I had that I went through over the weekend, and they suggested that there's often a pullback over the next few days when you see such a strong move on less than high volume, right?
So, yes, that occurred to me as well. And you know, contrary moves in a directional market tend to be very vicious. And that's another thing that concerns me about that. But the volume, it's kind of hard to gauge because this is just the very end of the holiday season. I don't think that a lot of our participants come back yet.
True. But the one thing I was looking at was that, so what was the volume in comparison to like its 10-day moving average? So that that whole season was within those 10 days, and it was actually below that.
Yeah.
So that's what caused me some concern, you know, and it wasn't a lot below, but putting it into that context, I still felt like we were a little light on it.
Do you look at open interest?
That's not something I really use much, no.
Okay. In that big move to the upside, and this is, you know, all of the contracts of the S&P, it's going to be, of course, mainly March, the front month. But we lost almost 66,000 in open interest on Friday alone. So with the price direction upwards, volume wasn't that good, but I would say that there was probably some pretty decent short covering on that day.
Yep. Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and a lot of times, like we're seeing today, the short covering doesn't just end in one day. And people need more than one day to get convinced and that they're wrong and cover their shorts. So maybe that's what we're seeing more of today. I'm going to share my screen for a minute here. One other thing that I was going to mention, this is from the Quantifiable Edges letter over the weekend, but this is just a simple look at some mean reversion type of systems. And the systems are super simple. It's if the S&P is below its 200-day moving average, but at an X day high, sell short at the close, cover on a close below the Y day moving average. So X and Y are over here. So if you're at a 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 day high,
Rob, you're still not showing your screen.
Yeah, we can't see you.
Oh, that's dumb.
There you go.
All right. Thank you. You'd think as the moderator, I'd know how to do this stuff, but I can't. I'm the worst one at it out of the four of us.
Yeah, technology always gives me trouble.
X here is, you know, how many the day high. So are we at least at a 5-day high, 10-day high? And I highlighted that the 10-day high and 5-day moving average as an exit here. And I find it interesting in the context of our discussion because we're looking out 5 days. So, a 5-day moving average, 5-day time frame, you know, you're along the same lines there. So most of the time you will have, if you short it at that high, so this would be shorting it at Friday's high. So it's underwater right now and you'd be getting out on a close below the five-day moving average. That would have been right about 72% of the time since 2000. And on average, you'd make about 0.85% on those trades. Here's a profit curve showing what it would have looked like over time. And as you can see here, when it came off of that 2009 bottom, a system like this would have struggled, right? But other than that, it's been moving up pretty steadily over time. So this is just one way that I'm thinking of it as, well, we're at a short-term high, we're in a long-term downtrend, maybe not get too excited with, you know, look for a pullback here. And that's fairly simple analysis, but one of the things I was looking at.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
If you were short Friday's high, where's your risk? Where are you getting out if it goes the other way?
Well, so that simple system that I showed there does not have, you're asking about stops, right?
Right.
Yeah. So there's no stop on that. So you're waiting for it to pull back below the five-day moving average, which it will eventually, right? It could move up 3, 4, 5, 6% before it does, and then it'll pull back, and you know that's how you lose 3, 4, 5, or 6% on a trade. Right. So it's okay. You need to manage your, you know, you don't want to go into you don't want to trade an idea or a system like that with huge leverage. But simple concepts like that help me kind of set my bias.
Okay.
It's not something that I necessarily use as, you know, an actual trigger.
Understood. Okay. Thank you.
All right, let's talk about some things that, you know, might get us to change our minds this week. There's an awful lot of stuff in the news, and I know Jim keeps on top of it pretty much, and I know Simon's a lot more technical, so you might not have as much that would change your mind other than technical level. So let's kind of go through. Jim, I'll start with you. What are some things that you're looking at this week? And I imagine like the VIX is one of them. If that goes below 17, that could get you to change your mind. We might be heading higher, you mentioned. Are there other things you're on the lookout for?
Yeah, I mean, the VIX and the price getting above 26.50 and staying above 26.50 would start turning my head for sure. Okay. But, you know, I'm not anticipating something like that occurring. So I think, you know, the probabilities, there's a lot of stuff. I think this year is going to be very, very exciting. I mean, you've got the death cross on the S&P, the NASDAQ, the Russell, the transportation average, and, you know, that's the four horsemen as far as I'm concerned. So bottom line is that, you know, if you're looking for a big gain in your stock portfolio this year, you're running against the river right now. You were running with the river since a long time, right? So obviously, you know, you could get good results, you know, because the overall trend was up. But I think, you know, obviously with these kind of death crosses, that's a problem. So the other thing is the interest rates. You know, when we went to 3.25, it was overdone on the upside, and we went down to 2.5 on Friday. That's way down. So I think rates are going back up. I think there's an inflation situation that's going to come up this year. The more Larry Kudlow and Trump tell me there's no inflation, the more I know it's coming. The wages are going up towards 4%, and I go out to, you know, I just went out to get new tires for my 600 SL. They were higher than they were 2 months ago. Everything I go out and buy seems to be more. So I think the oil prices are coming back up. And I don't know why Powell just didn't tell everybody the truth, which is what? The stock market did not go down because of a 2% Fed funds. It went down because people don't want to pay the valuations they were at. You know, we're not going to pay 150 PE ratio for Amazon when they say that their sales may slow 5% in the fourth quarter, you know, and we're not going to spend. So it was a valuation thing. We were way overbought when we were up at the highs. The valuations were a joke. And now we've come way down to where the market's oversold and the valuations are coming in line. But I mean, Powell could have got that Trump monkey off his back very easily by saying, maybe Mr. Trump's not familiar about stock and how they're valuated. But there are times when investors are very optimistic and are willing to pay a very high price for a dollar of earnings. And then there's times when they become more sanguine and they're not willing to do that. And that's the long and short on why we had the correction. Not a 2% Fed funds and a quarter of 1 point hike. Anybody who doesn't understand that it was a valuation correction we just saw needs to really get a little more sophisticated, I think.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. John, what about you? Are there things that you're looking at this upcoming week that'll get you to say, all right, well, yeah, I was bullish coming in and now I'm definitely bullish? Or, I mean, you mentioned moving up about that above that 2600, 2650 area, or are there things that you say, oh, that's a warning sign, we got to look out for that, whether it be, you know, news or technical levels? It could be China or...
Well, you know, the news is something that's always out there. There's always a risk of somebody saying you're doing something to knock things out. And, you know, I completely agree with Jim. You know, valuations of so many of these stocks have been just overblown. And, you know, I'm kind of hopeful that we've evened that out a little bit. Do I think that we're really going to be screaming this year to the upside? No, I think we're in for an area of kind of range for equities, you know, unless we can convince me otherwise. What would turn my head the other way this week is that 15% correction level. I'm looking for that to hold. Okay. That February swing low, I'm looking for that to hold. But it's probably going to become apparent to me before we get to that is really just, you know, how price and value moves over time. The market is attempting to move higher from those recent lows. It's been a bit of a change for me because I've been selling strength, and now it seems to me I need to be buying weakness. So it's really kind of the technical levels, and then of course watching price action around news.
Okay. Yeah, price action. You're right. The news is always out there, right? There's always something in the news that can be used as an excuse or an igniter for the movement.
Yes. Yeah, like the unemployment report on Friday was a very nice excuse to blow out the shorts.
Right. And I think with volatility that we've got now, and the fact that, you know, as Jim mentioned, we've got all these death crosses going on, and are we in a bear still, or, you know, are we going to be emerging? And I think we've got some wider ranges now that we're dealing with, certainly than what we saw a couple of years ago. And to me, that means we'll probably continue to get some overreactions both to the upside and the downside. There's more opportunity in shorter time frames. So a lot of my trading is, let's make sure before we, you know, before we go all in, got to be pretty certain and keep the time frame short, right? And with overreactions in both directions, if I'm right, take the profits, because it's probably going to come swinging back the other way fairly soon. So that's how I've dealt with bear markets in the past and been successful through them.
And I've found, for the corrective periods that I've been through, that this is difficult for even professional traders to manage correctly. And I think a lot of newer traders, people with less experience, think you have to act faster when there's a higher volatility. And I find it helps me a lot to act slower. I just really need to, like you said, you know, take the high probability trades and take profits. You're because, you know, with the volatility, you may get a nice big move and then it can all just go away. So taking profits is, of course, a big part.
Yeah. Slower to get in, but a little quicker to get out for me is what I do. You know, people look at a bear market and they'll say, oh, you know, things down 30%. I could have made 30% if I was short. Well, you know, if it never goes down in a straight line for very long, right? There's some massive counter trend rallies. So you can make a lot of money on the long side in a bear market, or you can lose a lot of money on the short side. You can lose a lot of money on either side, really, right? Because the moves are so volatile. So you need more of a trader's mentality rather than an investor's mentality, I think, a lot of the time when you're dealing with these volatile markets.
Yeah, sometimes I just want to interject. Sometimes these moving averages can give you a little bit of sobriety, like when Amazon was at 2050 and the moving average was at 1550. I was encouraging people to go look at the collar strategy to protect their equity, because when you're 500 points above your 200-day average, you're in a very, very dicey area. And then just recently, you know, we're at 2750 on the 200-day on the S&P. When you get down to 2350, it's no time to be selling stock or shorting them. So obviously, you know, one of the things that would make you kind of play it from the long side, like John was talking about, is because we may be going a little closer back towards the mean. The 50-day average is 2650, and you're at 2750 ballpark on the 200-day. And if you're trading 2400, I mean, come on, you know, you've got a lot of real estate between the price and where the mean is. And so obviously that's why he's thinking, you know, maybe I'll be buying the pullbacks until we get a little closer to sea level. And I think that's probably part of what your mentality is, right, John?
You're on to me.
Yeah. All right, Simon, I've kept you quiet for too long here, I guess. You still ready?
You said it, Rob, technical trader. So price action rules, supply and demand, understanding where your supply and demand levels are, where those big traders are buying and selling, and waiting for price to move back into one of those levels, and watching for trend changes. changes once you know how to read the trend. Say, for example, you're in a, at the moment, we're in a bigger time frame on the S&P 500 futures, the E-minis. We're in kind of moving down on the monthly and weekly, but we're moving up currently on the daily. Yeah. So you can see we just put in, by the end of today, we'll put in a higher low on the daily chart and a higher high, yeah, which puts us kind of a bit more bullish within the context of a bearish market. So when that bullishness ends, that could be when the weekly and the day and the weekly and the monthly kick in and start pushing price back down again. So we have to see the bullishness end. This is something I've been grappling with for years. Is the market, do we go top down or do we go bottom up? Is it the bigger timeframes that dictate how the smaller timeframes will unfold? Or is it sometimes the smaller timeframes that will dictate how the bigger time frames will end up being? And it's both. You have to go top down and bottom up and know what's in play when. And that's one of the keys as a trader to know. You could be right but wrong on your timing, especially as if you're trading, you know, day trading or swing trading. You need to know what your expectations are before you get into the trade, where your levels are and what you expect to get out of the trade. And then, as you said, you know, your expectations in highly volatile markets, you've got to get in, get the move and get out. Otherwise, it might swing back and go completely the opposite direction. Get out and then flip your trade in the other direction and take it all the way back. I've done that many times, that you get a massive move to the upside and at the level where, okay, it's time to get out. Oh, this is a good time to flip the trade and go in the other direction. It goes all the way back down to your entry price the next day, you know? So you have to go all the way up. And sometimes it happens in one day and you get those... there's something very interesting that actually happened in the market, especially on the yen pairs and the Australian dollar. There were flash crashes that happened very recently, yeah? And understanding, I want to just share this because it's actually very, very interesting. I've seen this happen quite a number of times. And let's just show this on, I'm going to show the yen first, the yen futures. You can see the chart here. Now, this is a classic gap. This is a novice gap. The price is moving up and it gapped up and ran up into a supply level. You can only be on the short side up here. It's never a long up here, almost never, especially when you're gapping up into weekly, monthly, daily supply, yeah, and also 4 hour and whatever other. So if we take this down to the yen pairs and we look at the euro yen, for example, and you can see this is what a flash crash looks like, and we'll look at it on a 1 hour chart. See this? When you get a massive move down in a very short amount of time.
Yep.
Yeah. So the only thing you can do after that, especially if it lands in, I mean, I was on the short side of this, by the way, before it happened. And I was looking at it to go to 120. I didn't expect it to happen so quickly, but it did happen very quickly. This is demand. This is where prices moved up. So you want to be, he can only be on the buy side down here, just like on the S&P 500 when we get down to that level. And today you can only be on the buy side. You can sell for little moves. The direction today is up, and you can clearly see this on the daily bar. So you see this massive move down. I'll show you another one on the dollar yen as well. Same thing, right down into where you want to be a buyer. Yeah. And one final one is Australian dollar. And again, look at this move down. This cleared out. I was looking for this to break this level. It did, but it landed in another level below. And this is what you mean. This is a flash crash. And the only thing you can do after it, once it starts to come back, is to be on the buy side. And there's a very important reason for that, because all the shorts have been kind of wiped out. Yeah, everyone who had stops on the buy side is gone. Yeah, so those are shorts. If you're on a buy side and you have a stop, you're selling, yeah, to get out of your long position. So everyone who wanted to sell sold. It's gone. So as it starts to move up, it's not the same people selling anymore. They're out of the game. It's a new group of people. Yeah. And the people that probably bought down here are taking profits as it's moving up. Yeah. And maybe if you had someone who held on to the position throughout that whole move. So that's why you get these kind of violent moves down and they bounce all the way back up and potentially go the other direction as well. So that's something very interesting to watch. And that's pure price action. You don't know when this is going to happen, but you do know, if we go back to the euro yen, you do know when it comes down to a level where you want to be a buyer, that's a time to buy. Whether it's dropping down in the big red bar, who cares? You know, this is where you want to be a buyer. This is institutional buy level down here in this zone. So that's all that's important for me. It's the levels where those institutional buyers are buying and selling. And, you know, price will move between those levels. You have to know how to identify those levels. And to know if it gets there quicker, even better. If it gets there quicker, you're going to have a quick move against, just like a ball bouncing down to the ground. If you throw it hard, it's going to bounce high. And that happens time and time again. This is fear. You want to buy fear, sell greed in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Those are some.
And that's nothing to do, by the way,
there, Simon.
That's nothing to do with fundamentals anymore. It will always surprise me about the fundamentals and looking at the news. They always tell you on CNBC or one of the Fox News or one of the news channels. Yeah. Always they tell you what happened happened and why it happened after it happened. The market went up today because of, and they've got to pin it on something.
Right. There's always something.
That really helps me, doesn't it? After the event, to know, hey, the market moved up because of some number somewhere or because of
something. The reason every day is the market went up because there was more buying pressure than selling, or the opposite.
Yeah. But the news never says that. The news goes in, no. Something happened. Yeah.
Yep.
And then say, hey, today it went because of this. Yesterday it went because of that. And it's never going to tell you, hey, the market's likely to go up today because of this news or because of whatever. Yeah. And you never hear it. They always report afterwards, which is, yeah, it's I remember watching, like, you know, Jim Cramer used to be on our trading floor. You know, he used to come on and he used to say, I mean, what do you think the people who come on TV are telling you when they tell you, hey, so what are you buying? They tell you what they've bought already. And when they tell everyone else about it, that's when they're getting out. They're creating the other side of their trade. You know, that's how it works. You don't want to do, as again, when most people are doing one thing, you know, who don't know how the markets work, then you've got to get a bit concerned about that. Like we said, if everyone's thinking buy, then hey, that may not be what you should be doing. But anyway, the charts dictate, price action dictates. And if you get to good at reading price action, then you know what you should be doing.
Okay. All right. So speaking of getting good at stuff, let's move on to our question of the week here, which is, what advice would you give and what resources would you recommend to someone who is new to trading? And since you're on a roll here, Simon, why don't I let you go ahead and answer the question, and then we'll move through and ask everyone else.
Okay, so first and foremost, this is the advice I give for anyone starting to learn to trade. Don't try and make money from day one, okay? Don't even think about money. Learn how to read the markets. If you're going to become a technical trader, learn how to read the charts. Understand how to identify supply and demand on the charts. Understand how to identify a trend, the beginning of an uptrend, the end of an uptrend, downtrend, sideways trends. Understand how to identify which direction price is currently moving in at this moment. Is it going up or down? Are we going, you know, in an upward motion or downward motion? Know whether you should be on the buy side or sell side. Once you learn how to read the market, go and look at the charts and see if you can see if certain patterns kind of happen again and again, and you can identify them. From that, you can start building a trading strategy, and you can go to the market and actually test that. So I wouldn't rely on any other, you know, gurus out there to give you a strategy. I'd build your own one once you understand the framework in which the market works. Take that and build yourself a strategy. And I've seen from the traders that I've trained over the years, the ones that have done that. I've had a trader last year, and I think she made last year probably over from a $50,000 account. After she learned how to read the trend, she took that and she went through the training around over 50 times until she got it. And then she took that to the live market, traded on a demo account until she understood it, and then took it to a live account on $50,000 and started making consistently over $10,000 every month. Some months, I think the last month of the year, she made over $20,000. She made $10,000 in 1 week, and now trading an hour a day, just understanding these principles. And she built her strategy based on these principles.
Of course, it's not going to be that easy for everybody.
No. That's more, she just happens to be, you know, that her mental attitude is completely spot on. It's like plan A. Actually, just saw my Facebook feed, Arnold Schwarzenegger come on talking about plan A and no plan B. That's exactly the attitude you need to succeed as a trader. People always ask you, you know, as you remember going through this, what's your plan B if it doesn't work? So I don't have a plan B. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it work. And that's the kind of mental attitude you need in order to succeed. So first things first, learn how to read the market. Come up with a trading plan for yourself, which has at least one strategy. Think small. You don't need to trade hundreds of stocks. Pick one or two. Become an expert in them. Develop a strategy and trade it every single day with a small amount of money, with small risk, until you become proficient and until you can see consistent profits. In order to do that, you also need to have a framework in which you run your trading as a business. You need a trading plan, a trading log, a trading journal. You need to know the process you go through step by step. Run your trading as a business. Track everything you do. Overview. Run through everything you do on a weekly, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, and see where you are. Are you succeeding? What do you need to work on? And eliminate one error every week. Figure out what your biggest error is and then get rid of it once a week. Just one at a time. And eventually you'll eliminate everything that you're not doing right, and you'll be left with doing what works.
All right, great. Good thoughts, Simon. Thank you. I'm going to move on to Jim and John to get their opinions as we're getting a little short on time here. Jim, what do you think? What advice would you give and or what resources would you recommend to someone who's new to trading?
Yeah, obviously, there's a quick form to give a whole bunch of information, but I'm going to hit some bullet points real quick. Okay. First off would be the moving averages. I think the moving averages, they're based on price and time. My old joke is people lie, but moving averages don't lie because they're based on price and time. So that's the first thing. So that'll give you a reference points of overbought or oversold and also direction. Okay. Now, hedging. I think hedging is very important. I've been doing this for decades. I've met thousands of investors at my seminars. For God's sake, if you want to do one thing with options, use them as a tool to protect yourself. What does that mean? That means when you get overbought, you start looking at a collar strategy or you start looking at some married puts. Yes, you're going to lose some premium and some upside potential possibly, but when we go into the tank like this, that one time or two times or three times a year it might do it, it's going to pay for itself in my view. So, and also when the markets are way down, you know, we've had Amazon go from 2050 down to 1300. Let's say you had 100 shares, that's $75,000 equity swing. And then you had Home Depot go from 215 to 160 on 1,000 shares, that's 55 grand. And Apple went from 230 to 140 area, that's 90 grand on 1,000 shares. So people might be panicking when it gets like that because how much heat can you take in the kitchen? Well, one thing you can consider is replacing your stock with limited risk long-term calls. Therefore, you'd have a limited risk on your risk. So you go to bed at night knowing exactly how much you could lose. You go out a year or two in time and you've replaced something that is nailing you and you've replaced it with a limited risk long-term situation. So, you know, there's a different ways to use the options. They're not right for everybody, but for God's sake, you should investigate how they can be used. And then finally, when the market gets nuts, what I do is I go look at things and I say, the world's not going to come to an end. So I go in there and I look at something like there's a BlackRock energy thing. I'm not recommending it. I'm just showing it as an example. And they've got all the big oil companies in there. And so I look at where oil's trading. It looks very far down. I look at Saudi Arabia. They have deficits. They probably want to firm the price up. I look at the price. The NAV is at a certain level and the price of the stock is 15% underneath the NAV. So I'm getting it 15% under the NAV. I got the biggest oil names and I'm getting a distribution level of over 9%. Now that doesn't happen every day. 10-year lows, 9% distribution, and a 15% discount to NAV. That's something that I find interesting at that point. And so when you get into these panics, you know, go with the idea that the world's not coming to an end and maybe look at things that you don't think are going to go away that are on huge sales and that makes some sense to take a bite. So rather than, you know, going under the covers, under the bed when it gets crazy, try to have some cash around and take advantage of some of these things that rear their ugly head only when it gets ugly.
All right, excellent. And, you know, I'd like to add a little something to what you're talking about with options there as well. For me, the biggest attractor for options has always been to manage risk. You know, so many beginning traders, I think, are taught to use stops and, hey, let's put in a stop and I'll be okay. And there's no guarantee with a stop. I mean, the biggest moves in the market often happen when the market's closed. That's when the news is coming out, right? Whether it's earnings news, whether it's economic news, a lot of it all happens when the market's closed. So putting a stop in, those stops can get blown through. But if you have an option instead of a stock and you know how to use options, then you can control your risk and know how much you actually are risking. So I don't teach options. That's just, you know, Jim does. So you can check him out. John, what about you? What advice would you give and what resources would you recommend to someone who's new to trading?
Well, coming pretty much strictly from futures and now, of course, getting into the Forex, I talk to a lot of traders. A lot of them come to me and say, you know, how do I make $1,000 a day trading futures? And to that, I usually suggest we'll start by making $100 a day. So for somebody who's new to trading, of course, market knowledge, understanding how markets work, they're, you know, derivative futures, they're basically two-sided, never-ending auction processes that occur in infinite time frames. It's a big thing to kind of wrap your head around, but I think it's important to understand. I mean, they are auction processes. It's going to go higher until buyers won't pay it anymore. It's going to go lower until sellers won't sell it anymore. So I just try and kind of get them to get their head wrapped around the idea that they need market knowledge. They need a passion for markets, not a passion for trading. Trading futures, it's very, you know, it's seductive. It's easy to get in and out. So I think it lends itself to people kind of getting in and out too much, a little bit of overtrading, even in the day, even day traders tend to, you know, overtrade a little bit. So, make your passion about markets, not about actually trading. Of course, risk management is always with such a leveraged, with such leveraged instruments is always extremely important. I'm always looking for them to first figure out how to become sustainable in a simulated account, similar to Top Step Trader. You've got a little bit of skin in the game. It's, you're not going to be risking your own capital. You're not going to be risking $10,000 and blowing up accounts to try and figure out how you're going to get a strategy put together and something that you can believe in and that you can trust. And that kind of leads me to the other side of the coin. And that's the mental and psychological issues that day traders kind of deal with. You know, you really have to know yourself as well as know the markets to really get a whole brained view of what you're seeing in the markets and take your time. It's not going to happen overnight. It is a profession. You need to, you know, constantly journal, not just your trades, but, you know, what's going on inside of you. And it's going to take you time to put together any kind of strategy, any kind of trading plan that you're going to be able to, you know, use moving forward. And, I usually suggest there's a, you know, lots of different contracts, different products that you can trade, get really good with one or two of them, and then expand from there. So, you know, take your time. If you were going to become a doctor or a lawyer, it would take a lot of schooling and a lot of money to pay for that. Give yourself the time to really get into and find a way first to sustain an account. And then from that point, you're buying time, you're getting better, you're still learning more about yourself and how markets work. And good things can happen once you get to that level.
Excellent. Thank you. I'll take on my answer quickly here. I think for traders to succeed, they need to understand it's more than just about working during market hours. You need to work hard outside of market hours and learn as much as you can. You need to find something that's going to work for you. If you can't be in front of the computer all day, you don't want to be a day trader. If you get antsy about being in a position more than a few days, you don't want to be a long-term investor. So you got to find a time period that's right for you and a style that's right for you. I would suggest you learn how to identify when you have a real edge also. For me, that meant learning how to backtest. TradeStation and AmiBroker are two great programs, but you can learn how to do some backtesting in Excel just to check some basic concepts. Once I learned to backtest, I learned that a lot of things I had been taught initially just weren't true. I was able to kind of figure that out and develop my own methodologies. Some people that I would suggest you follow, other than me and Quantifiable Edges and some of the guys here that you're listening to, Brett Steenbarger has a lot of good information on his TraderFeed site. Larry Connors, I've learned a lot from Larry. He's got a lot of good ideas. Tom McClellan is a real good analyst. I would look up his stuff. I like Dave Landry, Larry Williams, Ralph Vince has a lot of good ideas. So that's just a small list of people that I've and I just jotted them down. I'm sure I missed a few that I've learned from over the years, some valuable information. So that's it for me. We're at the time we're supposed to end, so I'm going to ask for some quick goodbyes. If you have a trade idea, that'd be great for the next few days. Otherwise, if you got something going on at your site or you just want to let people know where they can get in contact with you, that'd be wonderful. So I'll go down the list, starting with John.
Hey, John, you're muted.
Thank you. That's going to help. David, everybody here, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure being with you. If you are looking into getting into futures trading, day trading, Forex trading, definitely check out Top Step Trader's offering. What we offer is a safe environment for traders to professionalize trading. they're trading. And once you get to that level, you're going to get back to 100%. We're looking forward to seeing you succeeding. Again, check out topsteptrader.com. Take a look at what we've got to offer, and you can always contact our support team, 888-407-1611, and we're looking forward to seeing your success.
Awesome. Thank you, John. It was great getting to talk to you, and I hope a lot of people check out Top Step Trader. Jim, last few words from you.
Sure. We went from a very overbought condition in October, and we went to a very oversold condition in 90 days. The VIX went from 10 to 36. Step back and just use your common sense. The most likely thing to occur after this kind of volatility is some type of a trading range. So my expectation is 2750 on the top end and 2350 on the down end, and a lot of zigging and zagging. With regards to the podcast I have every Friday that I invite everybody to attend and listen in on, I think interest rates are going to be very, very interesting this year, because the day of reckoning on these U.S. budget deficits and the high yield market, I think it's coming, and it's going to show its head. And I think the U.S. dollar, I don't know what John feels, but it's starting to show some cracks. Couldn't get above 98 on the index. It broke 96 here today. And if it breaks 94, the word timber could come out of people's mouth, and that could be very exciting for gold and emerging markets. There's lots to talk about each week on Friday. I try to give you my best shot, so I do invite everyone to get the link and go to optionprofessor.com and get registered.
Excellent. I hope a lot of people do that, Jim. Simon, how about you? Any trade ideas, or let people know how they can get in touch with you?
Okay, so you can go to my website, tradesmartforex.com. You can see it over here. And if you want to learn a little bit about how to build a profitable trading strategy in 15 minutes, then put your details in here and you can get access straight away. In 2 days' time, on January the 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern time, I'm doing a live market analysis using supply and demand. So we're going to go through a little bit more in detail about how to identify supply and demand in the market and how to use it in the current markets and what opportunities are setting up right now. So you can sign up for that. If you can get it from my website over here, or you can just go to this link and hit register. And I look forward to seeing you on that webinar. And thank you so much for having me again on the show. It's a great show, and it's great to be with all of you guys as well. Thanks a lot, and happy new year to everyone.
Of course.
All right, thank you guys, and again, I'm Rob Hanna. You can reach me at quantifiableedges.com or investquant.com. There's free trials available at both sites. I encourage you to check them out and look to take free trials there. As far as trade ideas, as I mentioned coming in, I'm leaning a little bit short right now. I'm looking too short overbought. You could look to take advantage of it using an approach like I discussed earlier, where you're getting long at some new highs here and getting out when it pulls back below some short-term moving average, whether you're looking at a 5-day, a 10-day, a 7-day, whatever. A couple of things that look a bit overdone to me right now are XLY, XLV, both below their 200-day moving averages, but pretty extended to the upside over the last several days, and I think due to pull back a little bit. So that's it for me. David, thanks for having me again. It's been a pleasure getting to talk to all you guys.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Great show. Just want to remind everyone to be sure to subscribe to Finding Research on YouTube and favorite podcast directory if you haven't yet. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past reports or shows. And be sure to join us for the 61st episode of Analyze Your Trade tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. Just want to thank my guests again for today. John Hoagland from TopStepTrader.com, Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com, Simon Klein of TradeSmartForex.com, and Rob Hanna of InvestaQuant.com and QuantifiableEdges.com. Thanks, everyone.